6:20. I want to get back to talking about college football. Look, all week we've been talking about Jim Harbaugh, but my next guest says this is just a small piece of a very large puzzle. Jeff Benedict is the author of 12 books, including the New York Times bestseller, The System, The Glory and Scandal of Big-Time College Football. You can follow him on Twitter. He's at Author Jeff, at Author Jeff. Hey, Jeff, great having you here.
Hey, great to be on the show.
Yeah, thanks for joining us on this New Year's Eve. Hopefully we're not holding you up from heading to a party or anything?
No, staying at home.
Really? A nice quiet night on New Year's Eve. I guess that's probably the smart way to go, right?
Right.
Now, from your perspective, what have you thought of this Jim Harbaugh announcement? Now, where are you based out of yourself?
I'm in Virginia.
Okay.
And, I mean, obviously, Armin and I devoted a fair amount of coverage to the Michigan program in the system. And I think this is, not only a terrific move for Michigan, but it's it really changes the Big Ten Conference many ways.
You're in the system. What is it that you find out about the Michigan system? What perspective do you walk away with?
Well, what we did in the system was essentially Armin and I we split up, and each of us picked a number of programs to follow through a season, and Michigan was one of the programs that we followed, and basically. Armin spent a season with the athletic director and the coach, both of whom are obviously now gone. But
who was the coach at the time?
Well, the system had just come out, so
okay.
We were looking at
Brady Hoke.
So we covered the book covered the 2012 season.
Okay, not a particularly what it wasn't an especially good one, I don't think, right?
No, and I think that. We also did, a couple of chapters on the Ohio State program. And I just think that the addition of Urban Meyer was a game changer for their program and for the conference. And getting a guy like Jim Harbaugh to come to Michigan is, it's hard to think of a better coach that Michigan could have got. And I think it just, in the college game, coaching is a huge factor, and obviously the players are the ones who are on the field, but we all know that there's a certain number of coaches that are in kind of their own class.
Right, and they get paid for it, but it's interesting because there's this number out there, $48 million. It was inaccurate for the money Jim Harbaugh is getting. He's going to get $5 million a year as a base salary. Now, the types of money we're now seeing, how is that impacting the sport, would you say?
Well, when you look at those numbers, it's easy to say on their face that those numbers are outrageous, they're too high, but, I think one of the things that we really dealt with in the system was the fact that these coaching salaries that seem so out of balance in college football are actually not out of balance when you look at, first of all, when you look at what these programs are worth to the institution, particularly programs like Michigan. The football program is a bellwether for the rest of the athletics. It's a huge recruiting tool, not just for football program, but for the university at large. It's basically the front porch of the university. And so when you look at what these guys bring to the school, these salaries are actually really not out of balance.
Okay, so I'm curious, because your book, the title again, The System, The Glory and Scandal of Big-Time College Football. I'm talking to Jeff Benedict, by the way, on Twitter. It's at Author Jeff. So what is the scandal? Where is the scandal exactly at?
Well, I don't know if the book's not about scandal. It's just about the way a specific scandal. It's just about the fact that there are aspects of college football that, we tend to plug our nose and look the other way because we know that there are elements of it, whether it's the higher injury rate for the number of young men who will never play professional football, so they'll never be compensated for what they do, but will leave the game with broken bodies, and they'll have to deal with that the rest of their lives. There's a lot of kids who are recruited and shuttled through the system when they were clearly inferior students and probably not accurately prepared to be in college, but there are things put in place to sort of shuttle them through and keep them eligible.
And what do you make of the efforts of some college players? I think it was at Northwestern where they're attempting to unionize there.
Yeah, I mean, the reason that there's such a movement in that direction, as well as a number of lawsuits, is because these kids, they're at the sort of the bottom of the system. In other words, if you think of a triangle and it's an inverted one, these guys are the point on the bottom mm-hmm. that holds up everybody else who makes a lot of money, and not just the coaches, but you think about how many people are employed and who benefit financially from college football, from the networks to the shoe companies to the coaches to you name it. The people who make that happen are these kids between the ages of 19 and 23, right. And but they're not compensated.
They're not. Well, in fact, ESPN just paid over, $7 billion to cover this, the playoff tournament, the college football. That's incredible. So your feeling after writing this book, should they be compensated?
Well, I think at a minimum we have to, what's becoming increasingly clear is that the way they've been so-called compensated in the past, which is to have their tuition covered and their kind of room and board, is woefully inadequate for what we expect or what the colleges expect from these kids. The education, it's a nice benefit, and it has a financial value to it, mm-hmm. but it's not appropriate for what you get out of these guys. And
okay.
I think
we're talking about a salary, then, that kind of a thing, some kind of a stipend.
No, I think that there's a lot of other things that the universities can do, and the power conferences are now, at least a couple of them, are now talking about doing more, increasing the cost that will be allocated to student athletes, particularly football players, mm-hmm. Better protection for injuries, particularly post-career. I mean, if you think about the number of players who aren't going to earn a nickel playing pro ball, but who will nurse injuries for many years after they leave college, there needs to be a lot more done to compensate those players adequately through insurance coverage, et cetera.
Okay.
And there's a lot of money there in that pool to play with to do that.
Where does most of that money end up going? I mean, is it just the staff that gets the money or the university? How do all those billions get dispersed?
Well, there's a lot of discretionary money. And, part of it obviously does go to pay these salaries that you referenced earlier in the interview here, but there's a lot of other things that this money is used for. You look at the facilities, for instance, that these colleges have, the stadiums, the workout rooms, the training facilities. And football is an expensive sport. I mean, when you travel around the country on an airplane with, close to 100 men and all the equipment, it's mm-hmm. this is not like playing tennis. It's an extremely costly sport. And so money goes in many different directions. But the bottom line is the place it hasn't gone is toward the players. And I think as we move down the road here, the calls for that are not going to lessen. They're going to continue to increase. And I think the good thing is that there's more commissioners and people who are looking at the fact that it is inadequate right now. Mm-hmm. There is more that can be done. And I think more will be done, partly mm-hmm. because they're being forced to by litigation and some of these other movements that are going on.
About a minute left here. This playoff tournament that starts tomorrow, right? The first semifinals begin for college football. How much is that going to change things moving ahead in terms of the money that's involved?
A lot, because the 14 playoff system is a temporary thing. There's simply too much interest, too much demand, and in the end, too much money to be made by expanding the field.
You think it will be expanded? Then we'll see.
Yeah, uh-huh. I think it's inevitable because there's too much money at stake, and there's not a saturation problem, meaning it's not like fans will lose interest if there are more playoff games. It's only going to increase interest. There's more people who will be interested if there were an 18 playoff than a 14 playoff.
Okay.
And so I think this is the first year, but the interest is huge. The money is off the charts. I'm sure the television ratings will be tremendous, and the calls to expand will come. And all of this, what it does is it's going to continue to pump more money mm-hmm. into the universities that make it into this system, and that most of that money obviously is coming from the networks.
Right. Are you a big college football fan yourself then?
To be honest, I'm not a huge college football fan. I mean, I'm interested in it I'm very fascinated by it from a cultural perspective because it is a huge part of American culture.
Right.
It's hard to find someone who doesn't know anything about or care anything about college football.
True. And tomorrow will be the big day for it, actually. People are going to be tuned in across the country. Jeff Benedict, author of 12 books now, his latest, the New York Times bestseller, The System, The Glory and Scandal of Big-Time College Football. Check him out on Twitter, @AuthorJeff, @AuthorJeff, his Twitter tag. Jeff, thank you very much.
Thank you. Yep. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what the markets did this year and what's ahead for next year. That is next.